I have always had an affinity for kind souls. Even in my youth, I felt this instinctively, though I could not yet articulate why. Years ago, I wrote these words: I have an affinity towards kind souls, because kindness doesn't come from naivete, that's ignorance. It comes from suffering, pain, and humiliation, and the resolve to not resort to vengeance, the strength to stand up and never let another soul feel the same. To me, that's beautiful. Syed H. Fatimi. At the time, it was more intuition than philosophy. A feeling that those who radiated kindness did so not because the world had been easy on them, but precisely because it had not. They had known betrayal, loss, humiliation, and yet refused to let these things harden them into bitterness. As I have grown older, I see this truth with greater clarity. The difference between niceness and kindness has become vivid. Niceness feels light, easy, and safe, but beneath it lies avoidance, fragility, or even cowardice. Kindness, by contrast, carries a different weight. It is not born of weakness, but of power restrained. It shines most brightly in those who have every reason to lash out and yet do not. Kindness, then, is not sentimental. It is not the easy smile or polite word. It is forged in the furnace of experience, where the choice to harm is real and the refusal to harm is deliberate. That is why I find it beautiful still, because kindness is not given cheaply. It is costly, and its cost is what makes it precious. Niceness versus kindness. The older I grow, the sharper the distinction becomes. Niceness is the appearance of goodness, while kindness is goodness with a spine. Niceness seeks comfort and consensus. Kindness seeks truth and care, even when it costs something. Niceness is eager to be seen as gentle, but kindness is willing to be misunderstood if that is what integrity requires. Niceness often masks avoidance. It says yes when the right answer is no. It apologizes for lines that should be drawn, and it mistakes passivity for peace. Kindness, by contrast, sets the boundary and keeps the door open. It tells the hard truth with a soft voice. It is not the absence of conflict, but the refusal to let conflict corrode our humanity. Where niceness bends to pressure, kindness chooses a posture. Niceness aims to be liked, while kindness aims to do right. One is fueled by fear of rejection, the other by responsibility to the good. The difference is thrown into relief when stakes rise. The nice person avoids the difficult conversation to preserve a fragile harmony. The kind person enters the conversation, prepared to be firm, to disappoint, even to be resented, because protecting what is true and healthy matters more than maintaining appearances. Niceness is comfortable in the shallow end. Kindness has been forged in deeper waters. It knows humiliation, betrayal, and grief, and yet refuses the easy currency of bitterness. Where niceness flatters, kindness serves. Where niceness placates, kindness restores. Think of the difference in daily life. A colleague oversteps. Niceness laughs it off, quietly resents, and lets the pattern repeat. Kindness names the overstep, asks for change, and offers help in making that change stick. The first preserves mood, the second protects dignity, both yours and theirs. Or in friendship, the nice friend cosigns every decision to keep the bond easy. The kind friend risks the bond to keep it real. They will not watch you walk toward a cliff and call it support. Niceness is the performance of benevolence. Kindness is the practice of benevolence under pressure. One collapses when it must finally say no. The other proves itself precisely there, at the line between what is easy and what is right. The weight of capacity. Kindness only becomes meaningful when it is backed by capacity. To restrain oneself, one must first have something to restrain. A harmless person may appear kind, but their harmlessness is not the fruit of virtue. It is simply the absence of power. Mercy, in its truest form, only exists where harm is possible. Without the ability to wound, the decision not to wound has no moral weight. This is why kindness has a different gravity than niceness. It is not a shallow disposition, but a choice made against the grain of impulse and capacity. The soldier who spares an enemy, the leader who speaks with patience when anger would be easier, the parent who disciplines without cruelty, each of these embodies strength channeled into compassion. What makes these gestures powerful is not that harm was impossible, but that harm was possible and refused. Jordan Peterson captured this dynamic succinctly when he said, "You should be a monster, an absolute monster, and then you should learn how to control it." The point is not to glorify monstrosity, but to recognize that virtue arises not in the absence of darker impulses, but in the disciplined mastery of them. Strength without discipline becomes tyranny. Strength with discipline becomes compassion. There is a reason why the people who show the deepest kindness are often those who have walked through suffering. They know humiliation, betrayal, grief, and rage. They have tasted bitterness, and yet they refuse to become its vessel. Their kindness is not a lack of teeth. It is the decision to keep those teeth hidden, to keep their strength in service of life rather than destruction. That is why their kindness feels so heavy, so real, so trustworthy. To recognize the weight of capacity is to see kindness for what it truly is, not softness, but restraint, not weakness, but control, not the inability to strike, but the choice to stay the hand. Only then does kindness shine with its full brilliance, because it could have been otherwise. Strength and restraint. Restraint is one of the most underrated forms of strength. In a world that celebrates dominance and quick retaliation, it is easy to mistake force for power. Yet the deeper form of power is often the quiet one. The choice to hold back, to measure, to refuse escalation when escalation is tempting. It is here that kindness reveals itself not as sentiment, but as discipline. Consider the difference between reaction and response. A reaction is immediate, born of impulse and instinct. A response is considered, chosen, and deliberate. Niceness reacts, kindness responds. The person who has suffered and still chooses to respond with patience embodies a form of mastery that mere politeness can never touch. They have felt the pull of vengeance, and they have denied it. That is strength. This is why kindness commands respect, even from those who may not understand it. We sense when we encounter true kindness that it is not weakness wearing a smile, but strength in quiet control. The kind person does not need to prove their power. They reveal it in how they withhold it. Their authority rests not in what they could destroy, but in what they choose to protect. There is also a paradox here. Restraint is not passivity. It is not indifference or withdrawal. To restrain requires engagement, vigilance, and presence. It is easier to lash out or to withdraw entirely. It is harder to stay, to feel the weight of anger or pain, and still to choose compassion. That choice is not made once, but again and again in the ordinary tests of daily life. Each time it is made, strength is renewed. We recognize this instinctively in our stories and myths. The hero is rarely the one who destroys without thought. It is the one who could have destroyed, but chose a different path. The warrior who lays down the sword, the ruler who governs with mercy, the friend who forgives. Their restraint is not a lack of courage. It is the highest form of it. In this light, restraint becomes a creative force. By refusing to perpetuate cycles of harm, kindness creates the possibility of something new, renewal, reconciliation, even redemption. It breaks the chain of vengeance and writes another story. This is why kindness shines where niceness falters. It is not a retreat from reality, but a confrontation with it, carried with grace. The beauty of choice. What makes kindness radiant is not its ease, but its difficulty. Beauty enters the picture when choice is present. To smile when life has only offered you smiles is pleasant, but it is not profound. To smile after betrayal, to extend a hand after injury, to remain gentle in the face of cruelty, this is the kind of beauty that takes the breath away. It is choice, not compulsion, that makes kindness luminous. There is an old truth: virtue is nothing if it is not chosen. A person who has never faced the temptation to do harm cannot claim the virtue of mercy. A person who has never felt the pull of vengeance cannot know the weight of forgiveness. Kindness matters precisely because it could have been otherwise. It is the refusal, not the incapacity, that makes it shine. In daily life, this truth becomes visible in small but powerful ways. The woman who could cut with words but instead holds her tongue. The man who could exploit weakness but instead chooses to protect it. The leader who could rule with fear but instead leads with fairness. These choices, invisible to many, are acts of quiet beauty. They are not grand gestures, but daily refusals to perpetuate harm. Choice is the crucible of character. Every moment of restraint, every act of deliberate compassion, shapes the kind of person we are becoming. The kind soul is not born, but made, through countless small decisions to resist the path of least resistance, the easy indulgence of anger, the short-term satisfaction of retaliation. The beauty of kindness lies in the unseen architecture of these choices, one upon another, until they form a life of integrity. And this is why kindness, unlike niceness, cannot be faked. Niceness is a mask worn for approval. Kindness is a decision carried in the bones. It is costly, and it leaves its mark. Those who practice it bear the scars of suffering, but they wear those scars as reminders, not weapons. Their kindness is credible precisely because it has been tested. That is its beauty, fragile on the surface, but unbreakable at the core. What makes kindness beautiful? In my youth, I sensed that kindness was something different from the easy smiles that passed for goodness. I wrote that it was born from pain, from humiliation, from suffering, and from the refusal to pass those burdens onward. Years later, I know this more deeply. Kindness is not the mask of naivety. It is not weakness disguised as virtue. It is the discipline of strength, the mastery of capacity, the choice to shape pain into protection rather than perpetuation. Niceness bends to be liked. Kindness stands firm to do what is right. Niceness avoids conflict. Kindness endures it. Niceness hides weakness. Kindness holds power. To confuse the two is to miss the beauty of kindness entirely, for it is not the absence of teeth, but the will to keep them sheathed. It is not the lack of anger, but the transformation of anger into care. It is not the easy path, but the chosen one. And so, when I meet a kind soul, I recognize them not by their gentleness alone, but by the gravity of their presence. Their kindness has weight. It carries history, scars, strength, and choice. It has been tested and found true. It is beautiful not because it is soft, but because it is strong. Not because it is easy, but because it is costly. Not because it is harmless, but because it is restrained. We live in a world that rewards the quick reaction and the loud display. But the deepest transformations are carried by those who resist that rhythm and walk a slower, harder path. Kindness is not weakness. It is not niceness. It is strength, suffering, and choice woven into a single act. To me, that will always remain the most beautiful of human capacities. And so I leave this reflection with a simple truth. To be kind is not to be harmless. To be kind is to carry the power to harm, and to choose, again and again, not to. That is where beauty lives. That is what makes kindness beautiful.